This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
This episode of the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio is brought to you by Tavati Pet. Tavati Pet is the makers of the science-backed, veterinarian-trusted, natural topical formula. It supports joint health and mobility in dogs. Learn more at Tavati.com. T-V-A-T-I.com.
It's Oh Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your Oh Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Pause up, pet pals. Welcome to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Ah, home, sweet home. But is it home, safe home, especially for your pets? Fortunately, our special guest today is an expert on keeping our pets safe, especially from hidden poisons working in our homes. So at this time, it's going to be a mouthful of a sentence. Here we go. Please give pause and applause to the medical director at Veg ER for Pets in Cambridge, Massachusetts, a remarkable veterinarian, and she is Dr. Katrina Abel. Welcome, welcome, Dr. Katrina.
Thank you, Arden. I'm so glad to be here.
I love this. VEG, pause, ER. Go ahead, say what it stands for. I know I eat my green beans and everything, but that's not what it stands for.
Veterinary Emergency Group is Veg ER for Pets.
There's quite a few all around. I'm in the Dallas area. There's one in, I know, in Allen, Texas. They're everywhere, right?
Yeah. So we have, I think, 5 in the state of Massachusetts. I think there's over 130 across the country. We just opened up 1 in Canada. So definitely expanding and growing fairly quickly. We're opening about 30 hospitals a year.
Wow. Well, yeah. I should say bow wow and me wow, right?
Bow wow.
Well, before we dive into some of the hidden uh-ohs that are lurking in our homes, I wanted to have people get a chance to get to know you. We have one thing in common. I was the editor at Tufts University's Catnip magazine for 8 years. Back in the day, Dr. John Berg was my advisor and Dr. Nicholas Dodman. So you are a Tufts grad.
I am. Yeah, I'm actually a double jumbo. So I went to undergrad at Tufts with the intention of going to vet school. And then I moved from Somerville out to North Grafton and finished up my grad school there, going to vet school. And I actually know both of those people that you mentioned just from my time there. So that is something in common.
Yeah, I did it for about 8 years. I loved it. I had to interview all the people with Vanna White initials after their names, you know, board certified in specialties to be able to do the magazine. It was a big joy. So I just been doing my background. And you're not just a veterinarian. You're a dog mom. Tell
I'm
us
a dog
about
mom.
Ruby.
Yes, right now I'm a dog mom of 1. I have a 5-year-old chocolate lab, which we're going to get into a little bit of chocolate stuff later. So that's a good connection. Her name is Ruby and she's energetic. We were just out cross country skiing actually this weekend. We had some snow and Ruby likes to, there's trails right near my home and Ruby likes to run alongside as I'm skiing. So yeah, she's
nice.
Fabulous. Tons of energy like all labs.
Isn't the saying, I think Dr. Marty Becker says, labs, they chew till they're 2 and shed till they're dead?
She does both of those things fairly well. Yeah, that's true. I love that.
You know, what got you into veterinary medicine and specifically emergency medicine?
Yeah, so there's not a time in my life that I don't remember wanting to be a veterinarian. I remember driving up to, I grew up in Bangor, Maine, to a little clinic in Brewer, Maine, riding up there and sort of saying as I looked at my dad, like, I actually think I want to do this. And so that was, and yet that's sort of a common story. A lot of veterinarians say that it's sort of a lifelong dream or a passion. And then, yeah. And then I had plans, sort of always had in the back of my mind. And that was, I was very intentional when I went to Tufts, knowing that Tufts had a grad school program, a veterinary program.
Very good one.
Yeah. And then, you know, as I went through, and I think this happens to a lot of students in vet school, you go through your rotations in your clinics and you're drawn to one area or another. And ER for me was like really exciting, really variable. And so I've been a lifelong ER vet. A lot of people, when I graduated from school, did 1 year internship. So I did an internship and then I went into ER medicine and I've been there ever since.
I love it. Hey, everybody, we're talking to Dr. Katrina Abel. She is with the VEG ER group, VEG ER group. And we're going to find out what we can do to keep our homes safe for our pets after we take this quick break. And you guys know the drill. We got to sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. Obehave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Obehave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the Obehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I love it when I get an ER vet in the house, and she is Dr. Katrina Abel, and she is the medical director for the VEG Cambridge, that's Veterinary Emergency Group, ER, and you're in Cambridge, Massachusetts. What drew me to you is that every month, every day, every hour has some designation, right? But March is designated as National Pet Poison Prevention Month.
Yep.
But really, this is something we should be doing 12 months a year, 365, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, March is sort of an awareness month. I think people start to dig out of the snow and they start to look around them and pets start to get into trouble as the weather warms up for sure. And so it's definitely a really a great month to start thinking about that.
And I know there's not hard facts, but the best estimated guess from your point, because places like Poison Control Hotline, ER veterinary clinics like yourselves, do you have an idea about how many cases are coming to ERs every year?
Oh, I don't know that I know that number, but I can tell you that in our clinic, we see a ton of toxicities. We see dogs get into things that require surgical removal, and we see dogs that get into things that require medical care. Cats, too, for sure. I don't want to give dogs all the credit, but for most of those things, the dogs are the curious ones that are doing that kind of thing.
Well, I've written the dog behavior answer book and the cat behavior answer book, and I can tell you cats are like, let me take my paw and test the waters. And the dogs are like, oh, pop it in my mouth. Uh-oh. Is that right?
100% true. Yeah. And, you know, living with a lab, I see that all the time. There's nothing that doesn't go into her mouth. So definitely in my household, we're also super careful about that kind of thing.
So you kind of set the stage for two different areas. So let's go with like things that are edible that shouldn't be edible.
Sure.
And then let's go to things that maybe could cause them, you know, other harms. But people know that the darker the chocolate, the worse it could be.
Sure.
To be ingested because of the theobromine. But can you kind of give us, everybody says there's some lab, maybe even a chocolate lab, that can eat a whole bag of M&Ms and be fine. And a poor little Shih Tzu has like two M&Ms and uh-oh. So what is going on with dark chocolate and dogs and their sizes? What's the factors?
Yeah, so definitely there's a lot of variability there. So we have charts that we follow and we look at the bell curve as to what what the signs we expect might be based on the dose. The dose is key. It has to do with the size of the pet, right? And so you mentioned a Shih Tzu versus maybe a larger dog like a Lab. If they ate the same amount of dark chocolate, they're probably going to have different signs. Okay. Because the dose is different. And then there's also individual variability across pets, and right? And so some dogs can eat a certain amount and maybe they're on the borderline of whether they might be symptomatic or not. And in that particular case, they aren't. And other dogs, for whatever reason, are more sensitive to it and are going to show signs earlier. So there are those two main parts of variability. And then certainly the type of chocolate. We know that milk chocolate is much less concerning than if a dog ate, like, for example, a block of baker's chocolate or dark chocolate, something like that.
I know there's these chocolate toxicity calculators out there. Have you heard about them, where you plug in, my dog ate 2 ounces of milk chocolate or dark chocolate and my dog weighs this amount? And then there's some little thing that says, uh-oh, go to the vet or just monitor. Have you heard of those calculators?
Yeah, we see them both digitally. There's digital calculators. And there's also these pretty cool wheels that like the ASPCA might put out, which you line up the dog's weight with what type of chocolate and the amount that they ate. And it can help you show kind of gradations of what kind of toxicity you might expect to see.
So chocolate is not good. But I wanted to go into a more dangerous ingredient, xylitol. And it's my understanding that it's a lot worse than ingesting dark chocolate that has theobromine. But xylitol, or birch sugar, which, oh, that sounds so healthy and natural, but it isn't, right?
Sure. Yeah, no, xylitol, we see it can be in things like sugar-free products, gum, candy. The thing that we worry about with xylitol mostly is the liver, and it's the same thing. It depends on the amount that was ingested and also the xylitol concentration of a particular product. We know that certain products, like we see it most commonly with gum ingestion, but we know that some particular products are going to be much more risky than others. So to sort of stay away from those.
So what's the deal with sugar-free peanut butter? Because I do know some people are on keto diets, they're diabetic, or they're watching their carbs, and they may unintentionally give their dog some sugar-free peanut butter. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, so I know of sugar-free peanut butter. I've actually, in practice, I've never actually seen a sugar-free peanut butter toxicity, or actually even had a question of somebody calling with that. I think the most important thing when you have a sugar-free product and you're concerned is to look, check the ingredients, to check to see, does it contain xylitol? And then you can call, for example, Pet Poison Control, and they can help you figure out whether that dose, before you go in and see somebody, if your dog is not symptomatic, there's tools and resources that you have to call to see if there's a risk to your pet and whether or not you should be seen by the ER or not. So those are like important sort of general pointers about when you're not sure.
But what do you think when you hear the being changed to something that sounds very benign, like birch sugar, when it really is xylitol? That makes you really want to read the label.
Yes, 100%. I think that the awareness of what the different names of different things could be, and just having a basic awareness when you have a pet in your home as far as risks of all things that we might see as completely benign and particularly delicious for us, definitely it's not the same for our pets. And so having that knowledge is really important.
So we're talking about keeping our pets safe, and you know the spring is coming. We've talked about chocolate. We've talked about artificial sweeteners. What are some other poisons that are lurking in and around our homes that we need to keep our pets safe from?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things. If I think about my yard as the weather starts to warm up, you know, we do all sorts of things. We start to mulch our plants. There's certain mulches that are really safe for pets. Shredded pine, for example. But there's certain, as we start to think about chocolate, certain products which might be more risky, like, for example, a cocoa bean mulch, which is made from the hulls of the cocoa bean.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
It smells really good, right? When it's fresh, it smells really good, and it might attract our pets to it because it smells so good. If they eat a large enough quantity of that particular mulch, and when it's really fresh, the fresher, the more risky it is, you could have some of those chocolate toxicity signs that we sort of had started to talk through due to the risk of theobromine and caffeine being in that product.
So what are the signs? What are some of the things?
Oh, yeah. So some of the things that we see with chocolate toxicity, vomiting and diarrhea. Pets often present with an elevated heart rate. So we sometimes have to give medications to slow that down. They can develop pancreatitis. In some cases, they can start to develop seizures. And in real severe cases, you can have death from chocolate toxicity. With the cocoa bean mulch, it's pretty rare because you'd have to eat a large enough quantity. But if we're just talking straight chocolate toxicity, definitely those are things to look for. And just to be safe, you know, I would avoid that product if I had a pet. And, you know, I would avoid that product at home just because of the risk. Not to mention just eating mulch. We see that a lot. Dogs will eat mulch, whether or not it's a toxic product or not. It's not great for their GI tract, as you can imagine, and they can develop vomiting, diarrhea, other things just as a result of
puncture something.
Sure, yeah, sharp enough product, definitely it could. And so just being careful if you see your dogs munching on mulch, goes for rocks, goes for really anything in the yard, maybe think twice about whether you want them to continue to do that.
And I know this is a really tasty question, but shouldn't people bring in the evidence if they've hurled or it's gone out the south end? Why is it so important for veterinarians to be able to analyze?
I love that you called that out. We say that whenever anybody calls and they have a question about a particular product, a medication, whatever it is, please bring in the packaging, because it helps us figure out what the dose is and what the active ingredients are. There's so many different, I'll give you a rodenticide, for example. There's so many different products that people use in their homes that if we don't see that packaging, it can be very hard for us to piece together how to treat and what the next steps are if we don't know what the products are. So yeah, absolutely. Goes for gum, goes for anything, candy, chocolate, bring the wrapper, bring anything you have, so that we can start to figure it out and unsolve the mystery.
Is it good to also bring in what they puked up or pooped out to the
through? If you can grab it, yep, and you're not sure, absolutely. I think there's no such thing as too much information as we're trying to figure out what the next steps are, 100%.
When I'm not behind the microphone, I'm actually a certified master instructor. I have my own company, Pet First Aid for You, with a dog, a cat, and lots of veterinarians that are in ER, critical care, internal medicine, feline medicine. I'm always learning from you all. And one of the things I picked up from you that we share with our students is take your phone and just do like a 360 around where it was, because you veterinarians may find something that we live here every day and we don't see. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I love that. No, I think that's a great call for all of the reasons you said. I also would expand that. And as you started to talk, I sort of wished I had said, if you can't bring in the vomit or take a picture of it, at least we can see the volume, we can see what might be in it, colors, that kind of thing. All of those things, they may or may not provide clues. But again, the more information, the better, especially if we're dealing with some of these more scary potential toxicities.
Now, I do my laundry. I try to wear clean clothes. But if I'm a dog, am I looking at those laundry pods a little bit differently than what we look at them?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of information that has recently come out about those pods, but definitely the risk of ingestion, right? Those might look like tasty little treats. And absolutely, the detergent and the chemicals and the products in those are definitely put your pets at risk for toxicity. So I would definitely be careful about where and how you store those products in your home.
So you said a crazy fun lab named Ruby. I mean, where do you keep your laundry pads in relationship to your chocolate lab?
Yeah. So for better or for worse, my laundry is in my first floor in my basement. Ruby doesn't go down there. So
that's stored.
It's also stored up on a shelf. So she not only does she not go down there, but she doesn't actually have access to it. It's too tall for her. So we definitely make sure. But even the pods that we use, for example, in our dishwasher, those are stored very carefully in our kitchen. And part of the thing that I've educated my children on is knowing what all the toxicities are in our household and making sure they're safe as well, with making sure things are closed and latched and put away, that kind of thing.
I think that's really important, because kids love their pets and they're like their siblings. And they're growing up together. And I think that's a really awesome tip to share as a mom and a veterinarian, the importance of getting the kids involved, right? And the safety.
Oh, yeah. Like, for example, we think about grapes, right? We have our kid. They're like, you know, my kids used to have grapes. They're older now, but they used to sit at their high chair and have their grapes. The risks, maybe if you haven't, you know, one of the things we did is make sure they didn't have them until they were old enough to understand the potential risks. But grapes are a thing that could cause renal toxicity, right? And so it's really important to be very careful with products like that that we don't typically think of as scary products when we're having them with our pets and our kids mixed in, that everybody's kind of aware what that risk is so we can keep everybody safe.
It's also the shape to close off the airway.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. For a small child and or a pet, 100%. Yep.
The Frenchie. Help me.
Yes. I think that's a great call, is that things aren't just toxic or problematic because of the chemicals they contain, but also shape and size can play a huge role.
Man, I'm getting schooled in a good way, everybody. We are speaking with Dr. Katrina Abel. She is an ER vet. She is also the medical director for Veg ER for Pets in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We're going to dive in a little bit more after we take this break. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. Obehave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We're animals. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Stephen Whooper reminding you to always listen to Arden Moore on Obehave, the best show on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Obehave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Obehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I salute you. I mean, this is an area of medicine that you never know what your day is going to be like. And I'm talking about emergency medicine for pets. And dogs and cats don't speak English. They can't tell you what's going on. So don't you feel sometimes you're like a pet detective?
Yeah, we feel that often. And we talked about that just a couple minutes ago. Having all of those pieces of information can help you put things together. And sometimes people will say that in some ways, veterinarians have to practice similar to pediatricians, at least for small kids who can't really say, you know, express themselves. And I would say the same. We have to take the clues from our physical exam, from what our owners are telling us, our pet parents are telling us, and also from what we're getting, you know, from our environment.
We've covered grapes. We've covered some gardening things. We've covered, what was the first one we started with? Now I'm hitting it off.
Chocolate.
We've talked about chocolate.
I'm going to forget chocolate.
Yeah, but other toxins that are in our home could be our own human prescription medicine. And so any tips that you can offer for people on how to keep those pain pills and other needs out of paw's reach?
Oh, yeah, 100%. So I think, you know, this probably goes, it's the same thing that you would apply to kids, younger kids, you would apply to your pets, which is best thing you can do is make sure they're locked up. They're not mixed. Mixing pills into one bottle makes it really hard if there is a potential exposure because you don't know how much of a particular pill. You don't know necessarily always what's in that bottle. And so keeping them in their labeled bottles with their child safe locks and in a really safe place in your home is definitely the way to go. Having, you know, pills on tables, even if you think it might be out of reach of a dog, we know dogs will jump up. It can potentially grab things down. So always making sure you know where your pills are, taking them and then diligently putting them away is definitely the way to go.
So here's your question for 200. You probably will win this if you're on Jeopardy or something. Hydrogen peroxide. What is the one and only safe use for hydrogen peroxide for pets? And I'm speaking dogs, not cats.
Yeah. So hydrogen peroxide we can use to induce vomiting at home for pets. One thing that we want to be careful of is that there's not an alternative. So I don't recommend hydrogen peroxide. If I know an owner, a pet parent can get to us quickly and we can safely induce vomiting, which is monitored in the hospital. But sometimes, for example, we're in Massachusetts. We have owners that are in northern New Hampshire or Vermont.
Or there's a snowstorm.
Or they can't get here. There's a variety of reasons, right? And so in that case, we will sometimes recommend a dose of hydrogen peroxide as a trial. One of the tricky things for hydrogen peroxide is it has to sort of be a fresh bottle. If you have an old bottle of hydrogen peroxide and you try to use it, its efficacy is much lower, meaning it doesn't work as well. And so having a fresh bottle on hand is like actually a really good safety thing to have in your home if you have pets.
What about this idea? When you change your clocks twice a year,
yeah,
why don't you look at everything, your monitors for CO2, smoke, everything for you and your pet and see what needs updating?
I love that. I think that would be a great thing, is to make sure that things are tucked away, you have updated safety things in place, you've talked to your kids about potential toxicities in your home that might be put your pets at risk. That's a great call.
The other thing with hydrogen peroxide, what at least what we've been told by my veterinarians that serve on my Pet First Aid program, is have a vet on the phone if you can. And now there's telehealth, you've got VetGR, you've got poison control, you've got your own vet. So is there any tips you can give people on how they report a uh-oh without freaking out so you can get to the crux of it and give them good guidance to get them safely to get treated?
Yes. So at VEG, you can just call us. At one of our foundational spikes, we call them at VEG, is if you call us, we're going to get right on the phone. So it's not that you're speaking necessarily to less medically trained teammate. You're going to be talking to a veterinarian when you call. And so we're going to be able to give you the most up-to-date advice as to how we think you should proceed now, in the next 5 minutes, in the next 20 minutes, to keep you and your pet as safe as possible so you can get the care that you need.
And your veg are not your ordinary vet entrances. Can you kind of touch upon how you kind of bring the people involved? I mean, it's very open concept.
Yes, 100%. So VEG is built on a transparent model. We're an open concept model, and we want people to be, we think that people do better when they're with their pets, and pets do better when they're with their people.
Yeah, the lower stress and all that. Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah, that emotional piece that can be hard. And so, yeah, when people come in with their pets, they get seated in our treatment area, and they are able to stay with their pet throughout every step of the way, including to the hospitalization step. We'll set people up in our hospital with cots. They can stay over with their pet if they want.
Oh, nice.
It's lovely. We don't have visiting hours. People can just come when they want to come. It's always open so that we can keep as many pets and people happy as they're recovering and getting better in our hospital.
You talked about the emotional component. So there could be a nervous Nelly, and you could have a person with a pet that's pretty calm. You know, we teach people permission to freak out later. So is there any tips you can give people when they're bringing in their dog, their cat, they're kind of, oh, and the dog or cat is smelling their emotional state? Is, I know it's easy to say, but is there any advice you can give us to keep us at an even keel while the pet's in a uh-oh position?
Yeah, I mean, I think knowing that you're on your way to help, I think helps some.
That's
right?
Good.
If you
yeah.
can call and you have a plan and you know what the next steps are, I think sometimes for me, it just helps to know like step 1, 2, and 3. It helps me stay calm if I have a plan. So call if you're stressed, call us. We'll give you the plan. And then when you get here, often we'll meet you at the door. We'll bring you in. We'll make sure that you're as comfortable as possible. There's things that we can do to try to make you comfortable. Sometimes, you know, we're not going to be able to always eliminate, you know, the sick part of the sick pet visit, but we try to do as best we can to make it comfortable as it can be.
How important is it to have really purposeful breathing instead of shallow breathing when an emergency happens? And don't worry, I'm not going to sing Lady Gaga Shallow.
I think breathing, you mean having humans breathing deep when they're stressed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think just sometimes even just sitting down and taking a moment or separating yourself so you can have some of those breaths and just take a step back is really important. Yeah. I mean, I think those are all key.
You do that too when you're getting ready to take on a case? How do you do it?
I mean, I have a little bit of a ritual where it depends, right? So it's hard to prepare when you're in the ER because things
yeah.
come in. But what I do, I think for me, I have a ritual of when I come to work, knowing
okay.
that, you know, that anything could walk in the door. I have my specific car ride. I have the music. I have my tea. I have a very specific thing that kind of readies me for work. And then I have the same kind of exit strategy when I leave, which is like, you know, now I'm leaving my work and I get to now it's relaxed time. And so I think for a lot of healthcare professionals, it's really important to have those boundaries and protect that time. So you kind of scale in and then you kind of scale out from your shift.
That's important.
Yeah, 100%. We have a really cool room in our hospital called the Zen Room, which is an employee room. That's just a room where if anybody needs a moment, there's a couch in there, there are some books, they can go and just take that time.
I like the
breaths, have the separation, all those things that we all need as humans, because ER can be hard sometimes, for sure, for pets, for people, for employees.
Now, we've alluded to Ruby, so time to say, what has Ruby done that you were glad you were an ER vet?
Yeah, I'll give you one. I mean, Ruby's done some things, but there's a golf course near our house, and I spoke of it at the beginning. We were cross-country skiing. Well, we were at the golf course, like in a, it was cold. I think it was November a couple of years ago, and things were freezing, but there was no snow. And we were doing our walk around the golf course because nobody's golfing at this time. And I saw her sort of digging up, sniffing around a log. And as I went over to her, I saw a frozen tail and two frozen legs go down the gullet. And so,
oh no, what did she eat?
She had eaten a frozen mouse that had passed away at the golf course. And so for lots of reasons, we needed to get rid of it. She couldn't just, it wasn't going to digest well. It could have potentially caused an obstruction.
Did you tell her that wasn't canine sushi?
I did. I told her we can't do that, Ruby. And we actually had a fresh bottle of hydrogen peroxide at my house. And I felt pretty comfortable being an AR veterinarian to administer that. And I took her outside. It was like I said, it was pretty cold and kept taking her out. Nothing was happening. Finally, we came back in to settle in. And as soon as we were inside, of course, up it came right on her bed.
Oh, wow.
Good news is the hydrogen peroxide worked, you know, and we were able to get rid of the frozen mouse. So that's kind of a fun Ruby story.
Yeah, that's a good one. How do people find out more about your clinic, where you are, and Veg ER in general?
So go online. Check it out. If you go onto the Veg website, you're going to be able to look for. So number one is Veg. The search engine will search you by your location. So you'll be able to find where you're located. And they're going to show all the clinics that are nearest to you. You can look at what services we offer. You can find out, you know, the medical directors at the hospital that you might be interested in, phone numbers. We're open 24/7. So there's really no hours posted. But yeah, I mean, the website's probably the easiest. And then from the main website, it'll take you to all the different locations.
I've been having a great time talking to you, Dr. Katrina Abel. I hope you've handled our questions very well. I have one final question.
Sure.
If you could have some trait that dogs or cats have, what would it be and why?
That's a great one. I think for me at this age, I would love to be able to sleep like my lab sleeps. So, you know, she goes for a walk, she comes home, she's in front of the fire, she sleeps for 5 hours. The afternoon, she goes for a walk, she hangs out with us a little. She sleeps like, you know, she could sleep anywhere. I think that would be my trait, is I would love to be able to just sleep anywhere.
Well, I have so enjoyed having you on our show, Dr. Katrina Abel. And everybody, please be careful. I know March is designated as National Pet Poison Prevention Month, but we need to be on our toes year-round, indoors, outdoors, gardening, kitchen, you name the bath, everything. So just look at it from the standpoint of your dog or cat, right, Dr. Katrina?
Absolutely. I would say absolutely keep that in mind. You know, for us in New England, I know you're in a warmer climate, but for us, everything is about to like sort of unleash as the warmer weather starts. All the products are going to be out, the compost, the fertilizers, all the flowers, all the things that are beautiful and helpful, but can potentially pose risks. So it's always important to know what's in your yard, what's in your home, and to keep your pet safe. So thank you so much for having me, Arden. It's been really fun.
Hey, I appreciate that, Dr. Abel. And I also want to do a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio, the largest network of pet shows. Humbly, you are tuned in to the longest running weekly pet podcast on the planet. We have been on the air since 2007 when no one knew what a podcast was. Now I think my water bottle has its own show. Who knows? So when I'm not behind the mic, please go to Pet First Aid for You and check out what I do. I love working with ER and critical care veterinarians. And I have a pet safety dog, Kona, pet safety dog, Casey. And we have a pet safety dog in training, Nova Six Toes, that will help you get more realism on how to find a heartbeat, how to do things, and how to get that pet stabilized and safely to the veterinary clinic. Please call ahead, right, Dr. Abel?
100%. Call ahead.
No surprises.
Or if you can't, come in. But calling ahead helps you with the plan. It helps us with the plan. But if you're on your way, we'll see you when you get here.
All right. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh, Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand.
only on PetLifeRadio.com.